B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And we're never sad to have this gentleman on. He does a fantastic job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. But the team he covers is making it sad. Mr. Scott Lauber on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Scott?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, listen, in life we're fine. In sports we're struggling. Now listen, Scott, with the Sixers, whenever it was ending, we expected that our Phillies would be doing well so we can transition from, even if it was heartbreak or elation, back to the Phillies and they'd be doing well. Instead, they go get swept by the Giants again. And we've been talking to you regularly, and each time we keep wondering, when are they going to get themselves together? They're 2-for-30 their last. I'm looking at your story from the Inquirer, from your game story from after the game yesterday. Yeah. 2-for-39 with runners in scoring position lately. This is a team built to hit. What the heck is going on, Scott?
What makes you sadder, 2-for-39 with runners in scoring position over the last four games, or 3-and-12 against Gabe Kapler's Giants going back to 2021?
The Gabe Kapler one, because yeah. I can't stand looking at his face.
Goodness, Scott.
3-and-12. So you think Gabe gets up for managing against the Phillies? But they're not in a good way right now, especially offensively. You're right; they are built to hit. They are built to slug and score, and it's a weird one, guys, because they're getting hits. They're like fourth in the National League in hits, but they're like 11th in runs scored, which tells you that they're not getting hits at the critical times, right? I mean, they're leaving a lot of runners on base. They are not hitting with runners in scoring position. They are getting on base, but they are not scoring runs. So I guess the positive in that would be if you keep getting on base, eventually the worm will turn, right? Eventually you've got to start to score those runs and drive those guys in. But it feels like we've been waiting for that to click now for weeks, and it just hasn't. There's been that disparity between what they do with runners in scoring position and what they do without. So it's a strange one, and I think there's a lot of head scratching going on over exactly why they're coming up small in those spots.
Mets fans tried to warn me about Taijuan Walker, and I was like, no. We'll add a cutter. We'll do all this stuff, and maybe a good first half and then a bad second half. Who knows? But he has just been brutal, putting guys on base for free. What are you seeing in Taijuan Walker, and do you anticipate a bounce back at any point?
It's really the walks more than anything that's what's killing him. I mean, you look at yesterday, right? I mean, there was not a ton of what you would consider hard contact in that first inning. He kind of got a little bit, sort of nickel and dimed here and there with some of the hits the Giants got. But, he walked a couple of guys. He threw a lot of pitches. He threw 40 pitches in the first inning, and they weren't going to let him go beyond that. Rob Thompson doesn't really feel comfortable with guys throwing 35 in an inning, and they tried to let Walker get out of it. He couldn't do it. That was really the thing that stood out to me, because in the previous two starts, the one against the Red Sox at home and then the one against the Rockies in Colorado, he didn't walk anybody in either of those starts, and they thought they'd figured something out. They thought, okay, he's got like six pitches. And early in the season, he kind of talked about he was trying to get too cute. Maybe he was, he was trying to use the full array of his repertoire, when really the splitter is really good. And, if you're going to get beat with your best pitch. And they kind of simplified everything and really leaned into the splitter, and he was really pitching well for those two starts, and they thought that they had kind of found it. And I think what happened yesterday was he couldn't locate his fastball. And when you can't locate the fastball, the splitter's kind of useless, because hitters can kind of sit there and wait for the splitter, knowing it's coming, and they can hit it. So, it was really a command issue for him yesterday. It's been a command issue for him for most of his nine starts. His walk rate is really high. It's like over 10%. He doesn't walk that many guys in a normal year. So, he thinks, and he said something yesterday, he thinks it's a small fix with his mechanics. something he can do in the bullpen. I mean, it better be a small fix because, you know, it's one thing to have a number five starter problem. You know, a lot of teams have a number five starter problem. But another thing when you pay a guy $72 million to come in and be your, you know, 3 or 3A in your rotation, and he struggles the way Taiwan Walker has struggled.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're speaking with Scott Lauber, does a tremendous job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. Now, another guy, Scott, since we're talking about acquisitions, Trey Turner. He has that great World Baseball Classic. He gets off to a good start. I'm looking at your story here once again in the Inquirer. $300 million shortstop batting, 262, 707 OPS, and through 43 games. And it's just, it's not what we thought. And while it's not quite as bad, it's starting to look similar to what Castellanos looked like last year. Why is he having so much trouble?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I have no idea. You know, this is a 300 hitter. This is a guy who's a dynamic player, who's got a ton of talent. And you mentioned the World Baseball Classic, right? I mean, he was Captain America for 2 weeks in the WBC and was hitting home runs and grand slams. And, you know, it certainly looked like he was going to, you know, kind of hit the ground running entering the season, and it just hasn't clicked. It hasn't happened. They're a little bit, you know, there was a big opportunity for him yesterday in the ninth inning, not just for the team, but for him personally. Like, he could have had his first real signature Phillies moment if he delivers and with the bases loaded yesterday in the ninth inning, and instead he strikes out. Really the big mystery with him is, why is he chasing so much? You know, he's chasing pitches out of the zone. He's striking out way more than he typically does. I think that's really the root of the problem for him at the plate. And when he kind of finds it, you know, I think he's going to lay off some of those pitches that he's chasing, and he's going to get on base more and be able to do some things. But it's something that, you know, they're really not sure about. I mean, I spoke to Dave Dombrowski this afternoon, and, you know, I asked him about Turner, and he said, you know, he's surprised as well. And he says, look, I mean, this guy is, you know, obviously there's the talent, the fact that he is as good as he is, but also, like, not the first time he's changed teams, right? I mean, he's been traded. He's played in big markets before. He played in L.A. You know, he knows Kevin Long. They have a history. He knows Bryce Harper. He knows Kyle Schwarber. I don't get the sense from talking to Trey Turner, and I've talked to him a lot lately, is I don't get the sense that he's uncomfortable or, you know, all of the things we saw and heard from Castellanos last year. Like, clearly he wasn't settled in here, and he wasn't comfortable, and didn't, you know, it translated to on the field. I don't get that from Trey Turner. I think he's very comfortable. I think he's blended in very well with the dynamic in the clubhouse. It just hasn't translated for him. And, you'd have to believe that it's a matter of time, but, you know, it's almost 2 months. So they need him to be better, no doubt about it.
I'm going to go back to the starting rotation for a second. You brought up most teams have trouble with the fifth starter sometimes. Where do they go from here? I mean, Christopher Sanchez hasn't been doing good, and Bailey Falter has been a mess. I know Scott Boris is kind of pulling the strings, it seems, with Andrew Painter. What do they do?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of those teams that have fifth starter problems have a little bit of, a little bit more depth maybe in AAA than the Phillies do. And Lassmeyer struggled in AAA. These were, you know, the guys that they envisioned as being their depth starters down there. I think there's a decent possibility on Sunday that they go with a bullpen game. I mean, assuming, that they get innings out of Suarez and Nola, the next 2 days in the bullpen is not super taxed. I think that there's a chance that at least this time around, they either go with a bullpen game or you know, maybe they use an opener and then use Strom as kind of like a bulk inning guy to get him through a little bit. But, you know, yeah, that was one of the reasons why I was a little bit surprised that they made the move with Falter the other day, just because you say, well, what are the options? There are some non-roster options that they could consider. Noah Skiro is this kid in AAA who's pitched pretty well except for his last time out. And, he could be a possibility, but really there's not a whole lot there. And we're still a ways away from August 1st from the trade deadline, but I think that it's becoming pretty clear that finding another starting pitcher is going to be high on the list of things to do for Dave Dombrowski, because they just, you know, they need another guy. I kind of broke it down the other day that, you know, they had like 289 or 290 innings to sort of fill between, you know, Kyle Gibson and Zach Eflin and Noah Syndergaard. And, you know, they felt like Taijuan Walker was going to replace the Gibson innings. And then that left about 130 innings. And they decided to go internal. And then Andrew Painter got hurt. And then Bailey Falter struggled. And, you know, Griff McGarry would have been an option, but he got hurt to start the year. And he's just now coming back in the minor leagues. So really not a whole lot there. They're really kind of trying to piece it together and figure it out. And it's going to be interesting to see how they get through every fifth day for the next little bit until they can maybe find some of the external help that they need, or until later in the, or early in the summer or middle of the summer, when, you know, fingers crossed, they, you know, Andrew Painter's ready to come up and pitch in the major leagues.
Well, Scott, a lot going on. Let's see what they do this weekend against the Cubs. Hopefully they'll be back over 500 again somewhat soon, but a lot has to change. We really appreciate the time, man.
Of course, anytime, guys.
All right, thanks so much. That was Scott Lauber. Does a great job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.